Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's happening? Tiki and Tierney doing well on this Friday. Of course, company from the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Rocket Mortgage giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today. Just go to rocketmortgagesquare.com. So, obviously a ton of football, but let us first pay our condolences to the world of baseball, the family of Hank Aaron. We will do a full Hank Aaron segment coming up at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. But, you know, I mean, you talk about baseball royalty, that goes without saying. An incredible gentleman, you know, what he went through. And again, we'll really expand on this coming up next segment. But by any statistical measurement, an absolute top five all-time player, Ruth, Mays, you want to throw Garrick in there, Ty Cobb, I mean, Joe DiMaggio, the we know the names, Rogers, Hornsby, I mean, keep going, some modern ones as well. Hank Aaron, just an incredible player and an incredible person. 86 is a lot of years to be on this earth, so it's sadness, but it's certainly overridden with respect, and we will cast a great spotlight in detail next hour on his legacy, which I don't know if enough of the young fans truly know what they need to know about the great Hank Aaron.
Yeah, it should be a celebration of an outstanding baseball player, but I think BT even a better man. He was always humble. He always espouse respect. You just felt like there was a regality to him. There was something special about his presence and how he spoke and how he addressed the sport, and all things considered, there couldn't have been a better ambassador, not just for baseball, but for all African Americans in the sports world. BT, sometimes when you're the greatest like he is, you can't help but be cocky, like feel yourself a little bit. You never felt that with him, ever.
No, that's
and
a great point.
So the sport, really the sports world, not just the sport itself, baseball, but the sports world will miss him as an ambassador for what's right and how to do things right in your sport and outside of your sport.
Yeah, and you think about, you know, somebody else from that era that comported himself the same way, Bill Russell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they both went through. And that's part of the deeper conversation. But I just wanted to certainly start the show, acknowledge that, you know, me with, I mean, I would love to see the amount of, somebody get me this. I'd love to see it. Get me the web traffic for baseballreference.com. I'd love to see today how many people went directly to Hank Aaron's stats, which I know most people know, or, you know, some people, 755 home runs, but you look at the other stuff, it's absolutely amazing. So we'll get to that more thoroughly coming up next hour. Shaq, you know, Shaq's got a new segment, and let me put it this way. He's got an old bit, but now he's going to be a part of Shaqed and a Fool. Shaq better chronicle himself for that nonsense he pulled last night with Donovan Mitchell. We're getting to that. But it's a huge football day, obviously. You know, in a lot of ways, think about the conversations we've had I mean, obviously, over the years that we've been together, 8+ years, the elevation of legacies, going up, going down, the importance of certain games, that would obviously ring true this weekend for Aaron Rodgers, more so than for Tom Brady, for obvious reasons. But Josh Allen trying to jump up a hurdle that he's yet to get to. Mahomes trying to get number two. And if Mahomes is able to get number two in beating either Rodgers or Brady, talk about what that would do. I mean, for his legacy, crazy stuff. But, you know, this week alone, we've spent a lot of time on Lamar Jackson and the contract and John Harbaugh's position on that.
Yep.
And obviously Allen's ascension this year.
Yep. And Baker the week before.
Baker Mayfield the week before, no doubt. In a lot of ways, Teak, you know, while he makes it look easy himself playing a game of football, Patrick Mahomes is making it pretty tough on the rest of his peers, especially the young guys.
It's a good point, PT. Because think about the journeys of the old guys that are here. Right? Yes, I know that Tom Brady ended up starting early and because of the Drew Bledsoe injury and ended up winning a Super Bowl, but it was not about him. Like if we want to go back, look, he's the GOAT. He's the man. Tom Brady is the greatest that's ever done it, and he evolved and all these other good things. But if you go watch those early postseason runs and Super Bowls, it was like not that they're winning in spite of Tom Brady like they did with Ben Roethlisberger, but Tom Brady would throw a touchdown a day, a game.
172 yards.
Yeah. I mean, David Patton had, I think, his first touchdowns in his first AFC championship game. The only touchdowns, by the way, in his AFC championship game and in that first Super Bowl. That's a little piece of trivia for you. David Patton caught both those two touchdowns for him. But it wasn't about the quarterback. It wasn't like Tom Brady won us a Super Bowl. It was, we have a great team. We have a great kicker. We're extraordinarily well coached. Mm-hmm. And it took about, you know, 5 or 6 years before we were saying, all right, Tom Brady's actually pretty good at quarterback.
Yeah, that's true.
And same thing can be said with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was, you know, he was a backup for two seasons or three seasons.
Rodgers may have been three.
It might have been. I can't remember.
Rivers sat for two.
Yep. Rivers sat for two because
Eli played the first year. You know that. You played with him.
Yep.
I think it was three.
Yeah. I think you're right. So he just kind of chilled for a couple of years and then he finally got in and he got great all of, you know, really quickly and he ultimately wins the Super Bowl. Pat Mahomes, it's like his first game that he played in his rookie season. It was only one game because Alex Smith was still the quarterback. It was like, this kid's kind of got it. You know what I mean? It was one game. And then the next year, he wins the MVP. And the next year, he wins a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP after dislocating his knee in the middle of the season. So he's made it look easy. And the problem with that, to your point, BT, is that now we judge all of these young quarterbacks who are good and they're on good teams. Oh, you haven't won a Super Bowl yet. You haven't won an MVP yet. And it's not fair. But Pat Mahomes has made it significantly harder for these young players to fail on these big stages. I think it's why we've criticized Lamar Jackson. Right? The first 2 years, he gets knocked out in one game. The second year, we're now talking about, can he throw the football? And, you know, this offense has got to evolve. What's the ceiling that Lamar Jackson can take you to? We're only having that conversation because Pat Mahomes, who is one of his peers, young peers, has been exceptional since the very first moment he came into the league.
He's been amazing. You know, it's I don't know if it's a perfect comparison because the sport's very different, obviously. But, you know, it's not outlandish to think that in however many years you want to attach, you know, make it a 15, 20 year window, you know, not that he's going to necessarily play 20 more years, Mahomes, I'm talking about, but, you know, encompassing a 2-decade stretch, or at least a greater portion of 2 decades, I don't know, does he kind of do a Jordan and wind up blocking or altering the legacies of not only Patrick Ewing, but also Charles Barkley when he beat him in the finals with the Suns, and also John Stockton and Karl Malone when he beat him with the Utah Jazz. Like, think about this. If Patrick Mahomes stays healthy and Andy Reid stays there, especially if Eric Bieniemy stays there too, which you hope is not the case for Eric Bieniemy, but if you keep that staff together, right, and you've got the main weapons, and we all know who they are, who's to say that Patrick Mahomes doesn't block the absolute best prime years of Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, of Baker Mayfield, of Justin Herbert, when the Chargers elevate, you know, Joe Burrow. Hey, you never know.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that until you just said that.
He might have a Jordan effect on legacies of other guys.
That's right. All of the great young quarterbacks are in the AFC. Is there an NFC one? I mean, Dak maybe, but Dak didn't come in with that expectation.
Let's see what happens with Wentz.
Yeah, Wentz is another. Yeah, it's interesting because they're all in the AFC for whatever reason. But
yeah.
You make a very good point. Now, not to get distracted by, you know, the great quarterbacks and the young quarterbacks in the NFL right now all being in the AFC. But you make a great point because I don't see this Kansas City Chiefs team falling off. Right, Tyreek Hill, he just signed an extension, correct? And Travis Kelce, who's 31, I think he's pretty much locked in for the next couple of years. And if he's not, he will be. So the skill position guys aren't going to change significantly. And we've seen that if the running back changes, you know, we'll find another one who's going to be great. Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes in as a rookie. Le'Veon Bell, disgruntled, whatever. Bring him in. You know what I mean? Kareem Hunt was there before. Like Andy Reid has been able to do it with the supplemental pieces, but the star pieces that he has, they're going to be there for the next 2 or 3 years, maybe even more.
And by the way, Teak, you talk about the Chiefs running backs, they're stable, you know, changing. And,
yeah.
And think about the Patriots during this dynasty. How many running backs do they have? Going
That's
back
right.
to Falk
yeah.
with all those great third down receptions.
Or even Corey Dillon, if you want to go all the way back.
Blunt. I mean, they got a million of them.
Yeah, so as much as we like the run game, and it takes a good one, and I don't mean like you got to have a Hall of Famer at running back, like the Emmitt Smith era, where you did have to have a Hall of Famer, you know, back in the late 90s and early 2000s in order to, you know, be Super Bowl viable. Now you just have to have a good committee, and that's really a great offensive line and guys who are serviceable and can step to the occasion when called upon, because that's what we saw. James White, even, you know, in those Super Bowls. And
what do you have, 13 catches?
Yeah.
I think something like that.
Those little things make a big difference, but it's not necessarily about that the running back position. It's about the quarterback and the skill guys that he has around him. And if we're looking at Pat Mahomes, this isn't changing anytime soon for them. And why do I have a feeling that Brett Veach, their general manager, and Andy Reid and Bieniemy, if he's still there, are going to find the next Tyreek Hill or the next great tight end, so when Kelce's done? Because Pat Mahomes could win 4 or 5 Super Bowls.
Yes.
He really could. Because I don't want to say it feels like it was easy, because it's never easy in the NFL, but from early on in the year, it was just kind of like, yeah, they're getting back to the playoffs, deep into the playoffs, and probably back to the Super Bowl. You kind of felt that from the very beginning, and I don't know how that changes.
The only threats were when the Steelers ripped off 11 straight wins. But let's be fair, as much as, you know, we were loving it, and, you know, competition just breeds, you know, more interesting results for us as fans and as broadcasters. So the fact that they were, you know, unblemished into, I guess that would be November, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fact that we all knew the Bills were coming, it added some uncertainty. I'll put quotes around that. But think about the narrative with the Chiefs this year, whether it's right or wrong. This team went 15-1, and half the time we get on the air on Monday saying, man, they didn't even play that well.
No, 14-2. 14
I mean, 14-2, but the last game, I don't count
yeah,
that. I don't count that.
Yeah.
But they didn't even play that well.
No, they didn't.
For very long stretches, we were probably more critical, which speaks to their greatness and their explosive powers, than we were complimentary. Like, last year, we were getting on the air saying, this team's a machine, this team's unstoppable, oh my God. This year, we're already, like, almost conditioned to expect Mahomes to be great. And when he's not great, but merely good, it's kind of not acceptable.
But they still win.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And that's the point. So it's almost like they were bored. And all right, we got to go win this thing. Let's go win this thing right now. Mm-hmm. And they always did. It's very rare that you have a team that can play average, but then when they need to play phenomenal to win a game, they play phenomenal to win a game. This is why the Chiefs are they're hard to root against. And in addition to that, they're very likable. Like, the team is likable. And maybe that's because...
So is the Bills, though, too. That's why I'm conflicted.
I agree.
I hate the Bills because I'm a Jets fan, but I like them.
But if you don't have a dog in the fight, it's hard to pick this game. Like, who do I want to win? Do I want to see greatness continued, like the Kansas City Chiefs and the, you know, back-to-back Super Bowls, which we haven't seen in... When was the last time?
Or do you want to see somebody like Josh Allen get his anointing, which then changes the narrative for next season? Well, it just widens the net,
which
could be interesting too.
The reason I kind of want to see that is the latter, what you said, the Bills and Josh Allen pull through, because it now creates a rivalry.
Yep.
Right? Because you got two young quarterbacks. Both teams are well-constructed on both sides of the football. They both have star pass catchers, quarterbacks who are elite, and one has an MVP. It's not going to be long if Josh Allen keeps playing the way that he is, with 4,500 yards and 35 touchdowns, but also 5 rushing touchdowns. And I mean, he's just amazing what he's done. He's set a precedent for his dual quarterbacking ability that we don't associate with him, but it's there.
He's a top 5 quarterback, period.
Right? We want to talk about Lamar Jackson as this runner and some of these other running quarterbacks in the NFL. Josh Allen's as good as all of them. Mm-hmm. Right? And if you watch there was a highlight of I think NFL Instagram had this. It was like his evolution from his rookie season to now, and it was showing all of these running plays. Like, he runs like a running back.
He does.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. But he also threw for 4,500 yards this year. So if they beat the Chiefs, it creates like an instant rivalry.
Yep.
With both teams having their cores and their playmakers intact. So it could last for a couple of years, which would make it really, really interesting for the NFL.
Real quick, before we get into something about the Super Bowl and attendance, which we're getting to coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney, I think it's a good time to hear from Andy Reid on his star quarterback. Here's Reid on Mahomes.
Pat looked good out there. He did a nice job when he was doing it, and looks like he's moving around well. He feels good, so... it's just important that we follow the protocol, and that's what we're doing.
And by the way, it has since been reported, since Andy Reid said what you just heard, that he has cleared concussion protocol, good to go. That's the way we want it. That's what we expected. No real surprise there, but he's obviously a full go. Chiefs and the Bills coming up Sunday on CBS. All right, Teak, I've just tuned in. We'll get to the Hank Aaron. We're going to do a full segment on Hank. There's just so much there. Beyond the record book, that is very meaningful, that we're going to get into coming up at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. We got Chad Ochocinco coming up this hour. Obviously, football throughout, although we will get to the Shaq stuff last night. I don't know what he was thinking, the way he went at Donovan Mitchell. You don't see it quite the way I see it. I love Shaq. That truly bothered me. I thought that was weak, man. I can't wait for this segment. We'll play it for you. We'll flush through it. But how about this up next? Noble move by the NFL in terms of what they're doing for attendance at the Super Bowl, but is it a little bit too much, or are they maybe rewarding the wrong people? We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, as we obviously do a lot of football today. Get a little something on the Super Bowl attendance, because this is something Tiki and I and all of us have long wondered about. Like, what is the Super Bowl going to look like? And we have our answer now. The NFL announced they'll allow 22,000 people in the building in Tampa, 7,500 of whom will be vaccinated healthcare workers, the other 14,500 paying customers. Listen, noble gesture. I'm all about, as you are, about rewarding those on the front line, for sure. No doubt. Got the vaccination. Good for you. Get in there. Awesome. But why couldn't you make it like 45,000 vaccinated people?
That's a good question. And I don't know. And I think maybe some of that is because there's still not hesitation, but I don't know. We don't know what the vaccine is going to do. We assume that it's going to protect us from, that is those who have taken it. I have not taken the vaccine. I don't think you have either yet, BT. But we assume that it's going to protect those that take the vaccine from contracting the coronavirus or getting sick after contracting the coronavirus. The question if you have the vaccine and you contract the coronavirus, you can still pass it, which is a fact. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean? And you know, I think there's just so many questions. Mm-hmm. So they have to be smart, even though they're trying to do the right thing and honor those frontline workers who have been facing, you know, this vaccine from day one. And it's, I mean, you can't do anything but applaud and cheer them, because they've put their lives at stake. I mean, literally at stake for the last 11 months or 10 months or so. And so to give them a trip, because I think the ticket is free for them, a trip to the Super Bowl, which is one of the hottest and most sought after tickets every single year, it means something. It means a lot.
Yeah, it's a great gesture.
Yeah, it is. It's a fantastic gesture, and ultimately, it'll be what, a third or so, about a quarter or so of the entire attendance.
Yeah, and I believe they can expand Raymond James to, yeah, I was reading early, a low 70,000s if they wanted to. It's right around mid to high 60s, so just about a third, roughly. Yeah. Just about. If it was 66,000 people, it would be a third on the button.
Yeah. It's a cool gesture by the NFL.
It's a very cool gesture. Let me just give people some background here. So the NFL completes a plan, in consultation with public health authorities to have approximately 22,000 fans attend next month's Super Bowl, 14,500 ticket buyers, about 7,500 vaccinated healthcare workers who will be invited as league guests, as we said. The NFL developed its plan, official state, by combining its regular season approach in stadiums that welcome fans, and it's only a handful of those, mm-hmm, using a seating capacity of just above 20% for non-vaccinated fans, with its effort to honor frontline healthcare workers and promote coronavirus vaccination efforts nationwide. Let's see. The fans, that's just a statement, and I know that they're going to be spaced out, socially distanced pods. All spectators, even the vaccinated healthcare workers, will be required to wear masks.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it should be.
Of course, because as you said, you can still spread it, even though if you're not going to get sick from it. That's gonna look weird, man. I mean, it's one thing to watch a playoff game or even regular season games where, like, the Bengals had a few fans, mm-hmm, the Browns had a few fans. Who am I missing? There were a handful of other teams that had that, very few. But it's one thing to tune in, you know, on the flyover for the Super Bowl, and it's one third full. It's going to look eerie, but it is what it is. I mean,
it is. Look, and we saw this.
All right, we're almost out of it.
Last weekend in the Bills, you saw it at the Bills a little bit with the. It's interesting how it's looked, because they are perfectly potted out.
Yeah,
perfectly separated.
Yeah, and the Bills only had 7,000.
I know.
This is 22,000.
Yeah,
so maybe it won't look that bad, actually.
But still, it's going to be odd. You're used to the atmosphere, this crazy atmosphere at Super Bowls, and it's just not going to be that. Not that it's ever partisan down there, because it's never really, like, I mean, it's a little bit of the teams.
It could be if the Bucks playing there.
But if the Bucks are playing there the first time ever with a home team, at least a home stadium being host to the team that actually plays in that stadium, it'll be interesting. But still, it very rarely is it, you know, 50% of the fans are one team and 30% of the other. It's all corporate because the ticket price is so high. And I guess that's one aspect of this that's kind of interesting, because of the scarcity of tickets. Mm-hmm. I wonder how high they're going to get.
It's
got to be ridiculous.
You're going to get gouged. What do you think is going to happen? You're going to get hosed. You're going to have to be absolutely affluent to afford these tickets. You're going to have to be.
Yeah, unless you're giving. Stinks. Unless they're giving away to these, as they are to the healthcare workers.
They're not. You're going to be able to buy some. I did read earlier. So. Yeah.
No, I mean the healthcare workers, they're getting their tickets.
Getting hooked up. But I'm saying the other 14,500, there's going to be purchases there. And when you have that small of a demand for that type of an event, I mean, you could ask literally anything.
Yeah.
You really could.
Hey, man, can I get a comp ticket to the Super Bowl? Yeah, not this year, buddy.
Not this year, homie. You know what they should do? And we see this. You watch the NBA. You watch college, a little different. The NBA, to my knowledge, I'm trying to just recollect as I flash through what I watch every night. Like, I feel like I watch the NBA and I've seen all curtains rather than cutouts.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Whereas in the college game, you've seen some curtains and some, you know, expanded sponsorship signs, but you've seen a lot of cutouts, right?
Yeah.
You know what? Give me 40,000 cutouts.
Yeah.
Give it. Don't have an empty seat in the house. Have 40,000 cutouts.
You know, it's a good point, BT, because I actually don't mind that. I like the ones that we've seen, these games where there's, you know, there's like a whole section and it's just like paper heads that are moving back.
Yeah, they have it at St. John's. I see it all the time.
It's actually not that bad.
I agree.
It's better than the empty seat. I know that it's probably there's a cost to that, but you can mitigate the cost, even though it's probably harder at the Super Bowl because, like, who's going to buy a cardboard cutout to be at the Super Bowl?
You know, here's what you do. Here's what you do, because it's such a different. This is easy, actually. When we go to the Super Bowl, it's just a monstrosity of a convention, as we've said many times on the show. No radio roll this year. We're not going. I know CBS will be out there. It's obviously our Super Bowl. They've got some special game day programming, which is great. We won't be there. No radio show will be out there.
Nope.
What you can do, and I say that because they have all these exhibits that, you know, touch into every single team, whether it's historically, current, whatever. Just a great mixture. If you're a fan of any team, you go to the Super Bowl, you will see some sort of connection to your team. So here's what you do. Because every stadium's had cutouts, right?
Ah, that's a good point.
So just have every, just, I don't know if every team's thrown them out. I'm sure they're stored, God forbid, if we have to do this for a month next year, which I pray to God we don't have to. But why can't you take, so there's what, 40,000 empty seats as a whole number?
Mm-hmm.
And there's, what, 32 teams in the NFL?
Yeah.
All right, so you got, you know, just about, for some reason, this math is not, I was going to say.
Like 1,100? 11.
Around, yeah, I was trying to be more precise. Yeah, but we'll say just 1,000 is a rough. Each team has 1,000. Thousand cutoffs.
That's great.
With their logo, their insignia.
That actually would be kind of cool.
Simple.
Yeah.
There you go. And you can even align it by division. You could do regional proximity.
There you go.
You can have fun with Super Bowl history if you want. You can do anything you want, but you can't have empty seats.
True.
You can't have 40,000 red empty seats.
It's a great point.
And I don't think they will.
Great point. Another great suggestion by Tiki and Tierney.
Yes.
Not that anybody's going to listen,
or
adhere to it, but we give great ones every year, especially around the Super Bowl. Seriously, we do.
Listen, if you think that the
one of these years, your idea for the rock band, the country band, the hip-hop
band,
the R&B, every corner, pop one up, turn it off. Pop the other one up, turn it off.
That's it.
I mean, everybody's happy.
North, south, west and east. Ladies and gentlemen, Beyonce. Ladies and gentlemen, Aerosmith. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know, give me
Zach Brown Band.
Zach Brown Band. That's it. You know,
or Lee Bryce. Let's go Lee Bryce.
Oh, we got to go with our boy Lee Bryce. I would say Kenny Rogers, who passed away this year, but you know, I'm obviously privy to him. That was our wedding song, but I love Kenny. And by the way, if you think the NFL doesn't listen to our suggestions, you should see how little our bosses listen to our suggestions. That's nothing. All right, Deke, let's get the update. Coming up, Chad Ochocinco on the games, plural. What's he looking for? What jumps out? We'll get to Hank Aaron tribute coming up at 4 Eastern. Shaq in a fool. Shaq's going to have to put himself in his own segment because he acted out, colored outside the lines last night. Didn't like what he did to Donovan Mitchell. Thought it was wrong. We'll get into that. Tiki disagrees a little bit.
I don't disagree. I just think it's...
Well, you disagreed on Slack today a little bit.
It's just part of it. I think the reasoning is different than yours.
All right, so pretty much, just go along.
We're going to disagree. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. So that's what I was saying. We'll do all that, obviously, on a busy Friday. Jump in with the tweets, at Tiki and Tierney, Axe Update, then Chad Ochocinco. Here's Rich. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, on this Football Friday. Obviously, weaving in some other stuff. We're going to certainly try to connect with Chad Ochocinco. That should happen here. Hopefully it does, but before we get into anything, it is time to ask the pros, where we give you a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So here's how you do it. You should know by now, but if you're new to the show, pretty easy. Just drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio. So at CBS Sports Radio, use that hashtag Ask the Pros and make sure you stick around and listen later on. Teek and I will answer the best one. So Santa will gather them and we'll pick something worthwhile. We'll ponder it, debate it on the air. And we'll give you some props as well. So send them in now at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So we lost a legend today, Hank Aaron. Tiki and I will do a full segment on the passing of the great Hank Aaron coming up next segment, 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. Also, Shaq in a little hot water. Not by everybody. Some people are actually fine with what went down. Depends upon, you know, how you view it. We'll have that conversation. And also, Don McNabb brought up a lot of good points. D. Nabb was with us yesterday on the show. And one thing that he raised in particular about Andy Reid, it at first, you know, glance or at first hear, if you will, it kind of almost seems almost up to be a bit of an embellishment. But when you actually really think about it, as I did, it might not be. So we'll circle back to that as well. But right now we circle back to one of the great receivers of his generation for sure. 6 Pro Bowls, 2 All Pros, great personality. We've had him on the show a lot. Dude's just a big-time spark of life. He's always having fun, and he's always honest. That's why we like having him on. Chad Ochocinco back here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Chad, how you doing today?
Man, I'm feeling really good. First of all, before we even start, I want to say Happy New Year. I love you guys. Hope the New Year has been off to a great start for both of you.
Thank you, Chad. We appreciate
it. Life is great.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Now, we've been safe and sound, stuck inside our basements. as frustrating as that is, I mean, at least our families are healthy and everything else. We hope the same for you. The first question I got for you, Chad. I can't tell if this is like fake beef or if this is real beef.
Oh, we got beef.
What is going on with static. You and Justin Jefferson? Like, I think you're like trying to help him out, but he's like calling you out. Like, what's going on? This is social media beef, so I don't know if it's real or not. But just tell us what's going on.
We're just having fun. I do it with everybody. I do it with all receivers. I do it with OBJ, you know, Jarvis. I mean, Davante Adams. I do it with all of them. Just challenging them. You know, in the off season. So, and actually, Justin Jefferson and I, we did one-on-one today. We ran routes together, you know, talked a little football, you know, concepts, schemes, you know, coverage, you know, different stuff like that. And it was fun.
Yeah, when when you get together with these young guys, because I don't think enough old heads like us. You know, I know I don't. Every now and then, I'll shoot a note out to Wayne Gallman or something, or Saquon or something like that. But I don't think enough guys do that. Like actually get in person and teach what you've learned. What's that like for you? And also, what's it like for them? Because I mean, they grew up watching you.
They love it. The thing that is really good for me is not only am I still in shape? I still train as if I'm still playing, even though because I have to stay on top of my game because my kids are in their respective crafts and they're in college, you know, and they're in high school. So I have to stay on top of my stuff. So when the NFL receivers come home in off season, I'm in shape to show how it should look. You know, I haven't just been sitting on my butt, you know, the past 10 years. So they love it. You know, obviously they watched me growing up, and to be able to show how it should look in person and talk about the game of football in general and route running and footwork, man, this is awesome. Like, I really enjoyed that 2 hours I spent with Justin, you know, this afternoon.
I like it. Good stuff. We're talking to Chad Ochocinco, a couple of old pros, bunch of Pro Bowls, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Chad, before we get into the games coming up this weekend and what you anticipate, you know, we've spent a lot of time for obvious reasons. One, you know, he won the MVP, but also there's some deficiencies in his game throwing the ball. Talking about Lamar Jackson, would you have enjoyed playing with Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, most definitely. I would have definitely enjoyed it. And what it would have done is his job would have become a lot easier. Where there wouldn't be any need for the RPO, the play actions, or anything of that nature, where you had the full defenses and the kind of offense they do run. Because why? Because as a receiver, my job is to make his job, my offensive coordinator's job, extremely easy. And I think I would have been able to do that.
I got you. But I honestly don't know the answer. I think I might, but I'm not sure. I'll defer to you. Are they running the RPOs because they're trying to coach around some deficiencies or work around? Or are they doing that because they just don't have a stud receiver like you yet?
No. I mean, I like the receiver they do have, but, you know, every team can't have a Julio Jones or a Davante Adams. But what they do have is they have a group of receivers that are, you know, it's NFL. And when their number's called, they both have the skill set, you know, to get the job done. It's just about executing those plays when your number's called. That's all.
You know, it's interesting, Chad, because you look at these four teams that are remaining in the AFC and NFC championship games, and we'll focus justifiably so on the quarterbacks because there's legends in the NFC, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and these young upstarts, Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen in the AFC. But all four of these teams have, I mean, elite level wide receivers as well. You know, when you look at these matchups, who has the biggest X factor wide receiver? Is it Davante Adams, or is it Tyreek Hill / Travis Kelce, or is it the trio? Even though Antonio Brown is not playing, the trio in Tampa, like who has the advantage here?
know, that's a great question. If I was to give it to somebody, it would probably be Devontae. And what he has to offer, you know, what he has to offer with him and Aaron Rodgers. So
yeah.
It's clear as day. Look what they've done all season long. It's just been Devontae in a sense. No disrespect to the other receivers that they have on the Green Bay Packers, but they tried to double Devontae. They tried to do multiple different things schematic wise, defensively, and they still can't stop him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we all, certainly coming into this year, we expected Adams to do this. I don't know if we all expected Stephon Diggs to do this. Not even though he's obviously really good, but mm-hmm. but to this level. What is it that just, besides the obvious scheme that you could probably point to and maybe a better quarterback, I mean, what did they tap into with Diggs that just helped him explode? I mean, he has been one of the top five players in the NFL this year, non-quarterback, in my opinion.
What you saw with Diggs is what I saw every offseason. He is one of the receivers that I do work out and train with, and he's always had that skill set, and it's just about the offense using that skill set to his advantage, understanding his strengths, understanding his weaknesses, and taking advantage of that. And that's what the Bills have managed to do offensively. I mean, obviously there's somewhat of a drop-off between quarterbacks, you know, going from Kirk Cousins to Josh Allen. That just lets you know how much a difference a quarterback makes,
yep.
even though he still put up great numbers when he was with Minnesota.
He yeah. did.
But you give him put him with a great quarterback, and you get what you saw this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, mm-hmm. it's true. They have a great combination, as you know. I mean, having the right combination is everything. A quarterback yeah. and a guy to get to do something with it after he gets the ball. All right, you are promoting DraftKings Super Bowl prop bets.
Oh, I love
Monday,
these.
Monday evening with Bleacher Report. Tell us a little bit about this, and what's the craziest one in your mind?
Obviously, with DraftKings Big Game Prop, we have a reveal show on Monday, January 25th, 6 p.m. Eastern. And obviously, you know, due to the gambling and everything is somewhat legal now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the prop bets to me are the most fun thing that people can, even if you don't gamble, it's just fun. You know, yeah. you don't have to put a lot of money up, just a little something. But I think the craziest prop bet for me that I think people will like is the color of the Gatorade. The color of the Gatorade shower and being able to win money on that is really funny. And that maybe the Gatorade, the color of the Gatorade and the coin toss.
Is it gonna, hey, Chad, Chad, let me stop you for a sec because I love that. I've told Teak the story, so I'm not going to get too deep. But when Teak was in the Super Bowl against that great Ravens defense, I was living and working in Las Vegas, right? And I had an account at the Mirage. This is before apps, obviously. This is, I guess, 2000, whatever. 2000, right, T? 2000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2000, 2001.
So, 2000, yep. So I had to go over to the Mirage and put all these I hit 11 out of 12, right? So I'm a prop bet guy, not during the regular season, but during the Super Bowl. But here's why I got to respectfully disagree, at least from a value point of view. I have no control over the Gatorade. I have no control over the coin flip. If I'm going to put my money behind something, I want to at least know that I can look at stats and trends and have some sort of direction. If I'm intelligent and perceptive and savvy enough, I can give myself a better chance to win. There's nothing I could do and have. I can't increase my odds that it's going to be red or blue Gatorade. How do I know?
You tip the equipment guy.
That's true. You know what I mean? No, Chad.
Yeah, you're right. It's just something about it. It's
a funny one, though. It's a funny one.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they're over 200. There's so many you can enjoy yourself with. So I'm excited to see the rest.
Listen, DraftKings has done a great job, and I've done reads for DraftKings. They've been part of the show at various points. I've got the DraftKings app on my phone. People need to check out. And by no means am I saying, you know, go and gamble what you don't have. But, you know, Chad just said it, and he's right. Even if it's like $5, I mean, listen, it's just more fun. Keep it real. It's more fun when you have a little something riding on it. I don't care if it's, you know, who wins the coin toss, who does this. You know, you could even – I think you could do this with what you're promoting here, Chad. Are you able to do, like, some stuff from the NFL and mix it with some basketball games, too? Because that's pretty wild if you get into those categories. Do you guys offer that, or are you not sure?
I'm not sure yet.
Gotcha. I'm sure they will. I bet you they will. They will.
Yeah. What are they called? Parlays? Do the parlays?
No, no. It's still a prop bet, but it's just incorporating different props from different sports.
Yeah. All right, Chad. Who do you like in these respective matchups? AFC. Who you like? I like the home teams, I think. But who do you like?
Oh, that's a hard one. That's a hard one because both are playing so well. Oh my goodness, that's a good one. I love the Bills. I love what they've done all season. I love Josh Allen. He's the future. They're going to always be in contention because of him. Yeah. But it's something about those Chiefs, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's something. It's too many weapons. It's like, what do you do? It's almost unfair. When I think about the Chiefs, excuse me, for some reason I think about the Warriors when they had KD. I don't know why. It's like.
It's a good analogy.
It's an embarrassment of riches. They're just good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I have a question. You probably know better than me. How long can they keep a team like that with that many stars offensively together?
It's hard. But we were talking about this before at the top of the show, actually, Chad. The reason that I think they can, at least for another 2 or 3 years, is because Kelsey's not going anywhere. He's 30 years old. He's going to be 31 soon. I think he just signed an extension. And they just worked out a long-term deal with Tyreek Hill. So at least two of those guys are going to be there. And that's really all you need for Pat Mahomes, right? You can bring you can find in free agency a Sammy Watkins or some. You can find that other guy, right?
It's just
if you got that core, those three guys, it gets really tough to beat them.
See, that's not fair.
Agreed. Because there's not that many like that. I mean, how many super elite tight ends are there in the NFL? It's like
three or four.
Yeah. And you got one of them plus the best quarterback? That's ridiculous.
That's true. And the best coach.
That's right.
Innovatively speaking. So, Chad, we got to wrap it up. I want to give you 30 seconds on this, though. I think it's important. Chad Ochocinco, two All-Pros, bunch of Pro Bowls, doing some cool stuff with DraftKings. Definitely check it out. DraftKings is a lot of fun. You guys can have fun with that for the Super Bowl. But before you bounce, give me 30 seconds. What do you think if Deshaun Watson truly is motivated to leave, right, and it looks like he is, what do you think would be the best fit for Deshaun Watson if he decides to bounce?
I think the best fit for him, for me, in my eyes, and I'm playing it long-term, obviously, what you can do not only on the field and bring to a great organization and what you can do and achieve off the field, and I'm thinking about future as well, I would like him to go to the Jets.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
I would like him to – yeah, listen. I would like him – listen. Listen to
me. Sing it.
Like
I'm listening.
I would like him to go to the Jets. He's not just your average quarterback. He is that other top-tier quarterback that changes the dynamic of not just your organization, but your team.
Yeah.
He changes the dynamic of everything. You get him a number one receiver over there, and it's lights out.
I love it.
It's lights out.
End it on that. End it on that. Keep it positive. I'm a Jets fan, Chad, so end it on that. We will end it on that. Enjoy the games. Keep doing your thing with DraftKings. Appreciate you, man, and happy New Year again. Nice catching up again, Chad.
Appreciate it.
Be good, Chad.
You got it, man.
Okay.
That guy is staying in shape like he's a UFC fighter,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he does.
He is in sick shape.
Wasn't there a moment where he wanted to play professional soccer?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I think he actually tried out for –
He is an interesting guy.
I think it was one of the local, like, MLS teams. He is really interesting.
He keeps it fresh.
Stupid athlete, too.
Yes.
He was when he was playing as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Hank Aaron, we lost him. We lost a legend today. So, you know, beyond the stats, which are incredible – what should we remember most about Hammer and Hank? We'll get to that coming up next. Hour two, straight up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.